position, the one that when we adjourned earlier, we were just about to start with, is a petition coming from Ntatelen Dwa Sihume. Ntatelen Dwa Sihume is here. Now our interpreters are ready. He will then be given an opportunity to take us through. That is whom you are welcome, and here is your public representatives that are sitting in order to listen to what you are telling them. You are welcome. The procedure will be you outline your name and then go into your presentation. You are welcome. Over to you.
Ke a leboga modimo ya setulo. Nna bitso la ka ke Lentwa, ke Andrew sefane ke Sihume. E se lekgetlo la boraro ke dula komiting ena ke presenta mathata a ka. Ka bomadimabe, makgetlo a mabedi a fetileng ga go ka ga etsagala letho. Nevertheless, ke thabela mmuso wa rona o motšha gobane ba sentse ba re fa menyetla gape gore re nne re tle mona re tlo beya taba tsa rona gape.
I would like to greet you all. I thank you for the opportunity. Sorry. I would like to greet you all. I thank you for the opportunity presented to me to present my case. My name is Andrew Lentwa Sihume. It's the third time I come here to present my case. But unfortunately, in the two previous occasions when I was here, nothing was done. So I would like to thank this government for giving me the opportunity to present my case. Thank you.
Motsotsong wa jalo ke tla qala ka gobane case tse ke ile ka di beya pela committee tse ebileng teng pele ditharo. Ya pele ke ya go latlhelwa ke mosebetsi, ya bobedi ke go latlhelwa ke motse, ya boraro ko nkelwa ntlo ya ntate.
I had three cases that were presented here. The first one was losing a job, the second one losing a home, and the third one losing my paternal home. Thank you.
Ke tla qala ka ena ya ho lahlehelwa ke mosebetsi. Ka lemo sa 2000, ka di 31 tsa August, ke ile ka ntshuwa mosebetsing ke kula ka mabaka a sa utlwale. Itse ke le sick leaving, ke fetsa go discharge ko psychiatric hospital. Ke sa le sick leaving, ka bitswa mo ne ke sebetsa teng. Batho ba batla go etsa disciplinary hearing, e ne ke sa tsebe gore ke disciplinary e e tswang kae.
On the 31st, the first case that I would like to talk about is the one for losing a job. On the 31st of August 2000, I lost a job, and then when I was on leave, I was called to come for a disciplinary hearing.
Ka baka la gore ke motho ya hlompang molao, ke ile ka batla go lo utlwa mo ne ke sebetsa teng gore disciplinary hearing ena ke e tswang kae, go etsagala eng.
Because I respect the law, I wanted to go there and find out what was this disciplinary hearing all about.
Ntho e ke e tsebang ke gore goba ke fumane maemo a ne ke le go ona mosebetsing ka 1995, ke la ka ba le mathata a magoa a na sa batle go amogela boetapele baka.
Due to the position that I got at my then job in 2005, I had a position, 1995, sorry, there was a problem with my employers at that time who had a problem with the position I was holding at that time.
Ne ke le motho ya dulang a nyenyefatswa ka nako e ngata. Gobane ne ke bitswa ka mabitswane a kgethololo. Go thwe ke bobejane, ke kafore, ke ntho tsena ka go fela tse mpe.
In most cases I was undermined at that time by those people who were my employers. I was called my colleagues and my employers were undermining me, calling me names like Bobejan or the K word.
Jad hula fisa mo eating halanse by it and to sing a gaufel. Hobali kaka yamusivi ono chansu bu pitiwe kyumu amahua.
And then at that time, until such time, there was a problem when there was a job that was supposed to be done by one white guy at that time.
The suppliers said they refer the products to Fapafapani. They said they are not a supplier. Hobani, this is a patalu ganako. This is a patalu ganako. Nna le ka mookamedi wa tsamaiso ya sepetlele seno ne ke tshwanela go lo botsa motho ya processang di-payment gore gobaneng a sa patele.
At that time there was a problem of non-payment of the supplier of products. So as the head at that time I had to inquire about the reasons for not paying the supplier on time.
Yare ha ke kena ke bua le yena ka ofising ya hae. Kante motho ena o sentse a nkemetse a batla go nketsa go nthunya.
At that time when I was trying to negotiate or to get to the bottom of the problem with this person, he was already waiting for me and at that time he shot me. He wanted to shoot me.
Ne ke eme pela monyako. Jale ha ke re mese ba rena di suppliers ha di sa batla gore fa di-products tsa bona gobane ha di patele e ka ba molato keng. Ke ha ntsha sethunya se sekima-kima sena.
I was standing next to the door trying to explain to him that the suppliers are no longer willing to give us the products. And then he was having this big gun in his hands.
Ha drowa se tshunya sena ka ba ne ke le pila monyako ke la ka kwala monyako ka speed and I bolted ke mathela ho di colleagues tsa ka in management e le the chief matron and the CEO ke lo ba jwetsa ka bothata bo ke bile le bona ba rena tuna ba tlo
nthunya. At that time when he drew the gun I ran out in order to report the matter to the chief matron and the CEO.
Ha ke fitla ho bona ka fumana hore batho bana ba tseba hore ba rena tona tla etsa ona tla etsa ketso ena. Ho bona ite ha ke kena ke kgefutsa. Ke re ke ba jwetsa ba qala ba tsheya ba re motho ya diphaka phaka jwale ka wena ka ntho boi.
When I got to them, when I tried to explain what was happening, apparently they already knew what was in the plans of Mr. Barnard, so they just laughed at me and said, are you also a coward?
Jwale ke le ka ho hlalosetsa CEO ka nako e nono CEO ne le Dr. Rothschild hore Barnard o na batla nthunya o ile bo mamelang se ke le jwetsang sona. Ke ha Dr. Rothschild a re ho nna ke tla founela head office ke ba tsebise ho etsahetseng.
I tried to explain everything to Mr. Rothschild, who was the CEO at that time, that Bernard wanted to shoot me.
Jwale ka baka la hore ne ke tshwile haholo, o la re Dr. Rothschild as a CEO ke tsamaye ke ela lapeng hobane ne ke hemella hodimo.
At that time I was very terrified, so Mr. Rothschild ordered me to go home because I was not in a good condition.
Ke ne ke ile ka ya lapeng. Ke le lapeng ka fihla ka phetela mofumahadi hore o etsahetse mosebetsing.
I went home and narrated everything to my wife.
Ke dutse tsatsi le leng le neng ke kgutletse lapeng ka lona. Ya ba tsatsi le latelang ke tla mosebetsing. Ha ke fihla mosebetsing, ka fumana batho ba head office ba se ba le teng.
Then I stayed at home for a day. Then the following day, I went back to work. Then I found the people from head office already at my workplace.
Ba ile ba nkeletsa hore ke ilo bulela Mr. Barnard case Morningside Police Station. And then, ha ke fetsa ho mmulela case, bona ba tla mo disciplina.
I was then advised to open a case at Morningside Police Station. And then they also told me that they will take further steps thereafter.
Ka mora mono no, ke a bona ho a feta beke tse tharo kapa tse nne. Ke a ho bana le qhwishano hape hona mosebetsing. Ba re nna ke rohakile superintendent.
I think at about after 3 or 4 weeks, there was another conflict where I was accused of insulting another head there, the superintendent.
E le hore ntho enono e ne le case e iqalwang fela ya mashako.
That was just an unfounded accusation.
Ke ha ba re batla ke ha ba re batla institute a disciplinary action against me ba tlo fumana hore why ke ne ke etsa ntho ke entse.
Then I was told that the disciplinary steps will be taken against me.
Mara ha o ka fela ba entse ntho enono. Empa he hona ba le ditsitsibo ka tsamaiso ya ka mosebetsing. Ho fihlela ke founelwa ke Mrs. Joseph from head office ka le la matsatsi.
But that disciplinary action was never taken against me. And then one of the days they decided to call Mrs. Joseph.
Ha Mrs. Joseph a mfounela ne se ke tjhaisitse ke ya lapeng. A re palamenteng ya Gauteng ho na le qwaketsano between DA le ANC. DA e botsa ANC hore why le nkile motho e motsho le mmeile mane maemong a leng hona mane a hloile makgowa.
Then Mrs. Joseph called me about an incident of conflict happening in the legislature between the DA and the ANC, and then the question was why
have you given that responsible position to a black man? Le tla elellwa hore sepetlele seno e ne le sepetlele sa makgowa mo makgowa a na sebetsa ka boiketlo.
You will note that was the white people's hospital who were working at their own pace, not being disturbed by any other thing or anybody.
So they were not happy when a black person was appointed as a hospital secretary. As a result of that, they made my stay in that hospital very uncomfortable. I would like to point out a few things. When all these things were happening, I did not have any support from my head office. That is, the people appointed at head office to help us in our various institutions. Nevertheless, I continued working until such time that the union members, Nehau in particular, decided to go on strike saying, I am refusing to recommend them for higher positions, and at the same time, I'm refusing to upgrade them so that they get good salaries. But now, I was not in a position to do that because my subordinates, who were white, the middle management was white. I was in top management. So these people who were in charge of them were supposed to do staff appraisals. And I was telling them from time to time to upgrade their staff. So when Nehau went on strike, they were not striking against top management as such. They were striking against me in particular as a hospital secretary. So one morning, they came to my office carrying various assortment of weapons, and they told me to vacate my office and never to come back. And then prior to that, except Mr. Mudau, that is, a day before they came into my office, Mr. Mudau came into my office and told me that tomorrow you are going to be evicted from your office by Nehau members, and I would advise you that you do not resist because these people apparently have been told to hurt you. If they tell you to vacate, do not waste time. Just stand up and get out of the office. When they came into my office that morning and told me, telling me to vacate my office, I immediately stood up and left the office and got into my car. I phoned the superintendent, being on the way home already, that now had evicted me from my office. I was so hurt that I decided to go and see the doctor because I had developed what we call hypertension because of the difficulties I've had in that institution. I became a hypertensive case. So when I got to the hospital, the doctor who was choking me, Dr. Jacobite, told me that you need must see a psychologist. They had an in-house psychologist at that medical center. I went to see, after having consulted with Dr. Jacobite, I went to see the in-house psychologist who said to me, your condition as of now warrants that I refer you to a specialist, that is a psychiatrist, because you seem to be highly traumatized. And indeed, he booked me off for 2 weeks. After having booked me off, he wrote me a referral letter to go and see a psychiatrist. When I went to see the psychiatrist, Dr. Rangata, at the appointed date, Dr. Rangata decided to admit me into hospital because he was saying my condition was quite serious. Whilst I was admitted into hospital, I was phoned by the institution where I was the head of administration that I should come to the hospital because they wanted to proceed with disciplinary hearing. And then I asked for Dr. Rangata's opinion regarding the matter. And Dr. Rangata felt that I should stay in the hospital until such time that he had satisfied himself that I could go back to work. But in his expert opinion, he feels that I shouldn't be at work for a lengthy period, a period of plus minus 3 months. And indeed, when I was discharged from hospital, Dr. Rangaka gave me 3 months sick leave to stay at home because he felt that my condition was of a very serious nature. Whilst at home, I was repeatedly phoned by the people at work, that is, the superintendent, and a gentleman I did not know who was supposed to preside over my disciplinary hearing. And at some point, I decided to go back to the hospital in the morning just to find out what is this disciplinary hearing all about. When I came to the institution, I had my own keys for my office. When I came to the hospital, the locking system of my office was changed. I went to one of the ladies I was working with, a certain Miss Fantona, to find out as to why the locking system in my office had been changed. Miss Barnard told me that she was instructed by the superintendent to change the locking system because I'm a native that always gives trouble. And all these things could not be happening if I had the support of my employer, which was the people at head office who were responsible to look after the welfare and the well-being of the staff members. I remember at some point during my stay at the hospital, I was called together with the superintendent to head office for them to find out as to why there was no harmony between me and my white colleagues. They gave Miss Dr. Bondarengo a chance to present first. And when it was my turn to present, I tried to show a certain Mr. Denge, who had called us to head office, that I've had a problem with these people, and I've got a history in the struggle of not tolerating a behavior displayed by my white colleagues. And then Mr. Denge, in front of this expatriate from Russia, said to Dr. Bondarenko, "We don't know this guy in the struggle. We have never been with him in the struggle." Saying that about me to a white expatriate. I said to Mr. Denge, "Nevertheless, what is happening, you know for a fact that it is not good for my well-being and the well-being of my family because I've got now this psychiatric problem because of you not intervening on my behalf with my white colleagues." And Mr. Denge told me to go back to the institution and improve my attitude towards my white colleagues. That is, I was supposed to go an extra mile to accommodate these people in my life, whereas they were not bothered to do the same to me. Nevertheless, you'll help me out, the committee, because there are times when I speak, I lose trend as to what I've been saying and what I'd like to say. Nevertheless, because I was on sick leave, I went back home. Whilst I was at home, one morning, a white driver from my institution came to my house. He had lots of forms. And he said to me, I've been sent by Dr. Bondarenko that you should fill in these forms and I'll help you as to how you should fill them. But what is important that you should know, they are aware of the fact that there is a lot of money owing to you because ever since you came here, you were never evaluated for promotion or extra cash monthly. Now, this is the time when I decided to do the same to you. But Dr. Bondarenko is advising you to fill in these forms and take early retirement. I said to Mr. Mathieu, the driver, I cannot do that without me informing my wife. And at the moment my wife is at work, I'll have to tell this to my wife. Having told this to my wife, if she decides that I should take early retirement to save me from further abuse and harassment, I'll do so. Mr. Mathieu went back to work. I don't know how he presented the whole matter to my white colleagues. When my wife came home, I told her about the problems that accrued during the morning, that Mr. Mathieu had come to my house with forms that I should fill in the forms, but these forms is something like a staff evaluation and at the same time is a retirement form. Because Mr. Mathieu had underlined a section where they say benefits, whatever, I don't know, benefits, I don't remember the exact words. And then my wife said, if maybe you're going to retire and they give you all your benefits, I would advise you to resign because your head office is not helping you and they might end up firing you. So do retire like they say you should. But the following day, I was waiting for Mr. Mathieu to come, but he didn't. I think he came after 3 or 4 days, towards the end of the week, because when he was at my place, it was on a Monday. When he came with those forms, he advised me that these people at your institution so dislike you, they hate you. I personally, Mr. Sihume, at my level as a driver, I would advise you to take an opportunity that they are offering you to resign or to retire. I said, if I resign, then I'll lose all my benefit. I would rather retire. And then he showed me how to fill in these forms, and he would remember that when you are a psychiatric case, sometimes you are not in a position to understand some of the things that you'd like or you wouldn't like to do. I was made aware of those things when I went to see my psychiatrist at an appointed date, that I was not supposed to have filled in those forms because I was not in a position to take a meaningful decision.
For purpose of proper recording, if you can, not that far, just not okay. Be very close to
me. Yeah. As your psychiatrist, you should not have retired. What did I want to say?
Sorry. So you were saying, after being given those forms and as a psychiatric patient, you were still wanted to tell us what is that you may not do at the, with
yes.
that particular.
The psychiatrist told me that you are not supposed to fill in those forms because at that point in time, you were not in a position to take any meaningful decision. So you are not going to retire. Instead, I'm going to write them a letter to tell them that your condition was such that you couldn't take a meaningful decision, so you should keep your job. Indeed, the psychiatrist did that, and then having done that, I took the letter to the superintendent. The superintendent promised that he was going to withdraw the resignation. But now I was surprised when month end came, there was no paycheck for me. As a result of that, I went back to the superintendent to find out why am I not being paid, because I'm still on sick leave. And the superintendent, Dr. Bondolengo, told me that they are now processing my retirement. And then when I came home in the evening, I told my wife that these people, even if I'm on a sick leave, they are forcing me to go on retirement. And then when I was filling in the forms, Mr. Mattia was telling me that for you to be able to keep your medical aid, you've got to write a letter that you will be retiring, and then they should allow you to continue with your medical aid. So unfortunately, it happened that I even lost that medical aid because I was no more getting paid. Seeing that my wife was working for the provincial health department, she put me on her medical aid. But it was only for 6 months. Whilst I was waiting for my benefits as a retiree to come, unfortunately, my benefits did not come in time. And not having come in time, I was experiencing financial difficulty. And then my wife started behaving in a manner that is not in keeping with a married woman. And while all this was happening, I kept on going to the hospital to inquire why am I not getting my salary? Or even if I had retired, why were I not getting my benefits? And I was told that it would take 3 to 6 months before I could get my benefit from the pension department. And there was a lot of suffering in my family as a result of that, because one of my daughters was doing PCA medicine and the other one was at Pretoria University. I think she was in her second year, the youngest. So it was difficult to keep up with the payments of university fees. So I exhausted some of the money that I've had in my banking account paying for their fees, as it were, until such time that my daughter got a bursary, NSF, what do they call it again? Yeah, got a bursary. So it eased my problem, but I still had a problem of maintaining the young one at the university. I'm having a breakdown. I don't know what to say. But I've got such a lot to say. One morning while I was at home, I received a phone call that my money had come from the pension department. I went to the hospital thinking that my money was at the hospital, that is. When you retire, you get one third of your, we normally call it a lump sum, of your benefits. And then, lo and behold, when I came to the hospital, they told me, no, your lump sum, you'll get it from a certain Mrs. Aranse. And I said, how come I've retired, I must get my money from somebody else? Only to find that among the forms that I was filling in from Mr. Mathieu was a form that I was transferring all my monies into a certain fund conducted by Mrs. Aranse. And this Mrs. Aranse is working for Sanlam. So at work, they told me where Mrs. Aranse's offices are. Sanlam building, what have you. I went there. When I came there, the first question I asked Mrs. Aranse, how did my money come to you from the pension department? Because I do not know you. He said, no, your hospital, where you are working, you filled in the forms that your monies must be transferred here. So you are going to get your said, which is lump sum, from me. And I'm going, in that amount, I'm going to keep 500,000 rand, so that you get pension from it. But I said to Mrs. Aranse, there's something that I do not understand, because my money cannot be transferred to somebody that I do not know. Do you know me? Or did you know me before? Or how did you come to know me? Says, no, your papers were sent from your employer to me. Because when a person had completed a number of years service, they do not give him his money direct. Instead, it goes to an approved pension fund. Get it? And that pension fund is the one that has got to do an investment on his part so that he can draw a salary from there. But now I had no stamina or strength to be arguing with Mrs. Aranse. All I wanted is part of my money. And then she could keep that 500,000, like she says, I was going to draw pension from it. So she gave me that lump sum. I think the lump sum she gave me was about 146,000. With this 146,000, I went to pay the arrears of my daughter's school fees. And the rest, I was paying debts that I couldn't pay whilst I was not receiving any money. That being the case, I had lost my job. But I didn't leave it there. I went to the bargaining council to sue them for constructive dismissal at the bargaining council. The bargaining council took my case, but before a decision could be made, I had to go through plus minus four arbitrators. Once they started talking about natural justice, they were changed. Each time we go for a hearing, it was a new arbitrator. Until such time, they found this guy, Baloyi guy. And then this Baloyi guy decided to go on with the arbitration hearing. And in that arbitration hearing, I had people who were witnessing on my behalf to tell as to how I was treated at that institution. The people who who were testifying for the institution, where people I was working with, that is white people, and other white people from head office, labor relations department, who I did not interact with them directly, but they chose to come and represent the employer. Whereas during the time I was having the problem with my employer, they never, shall I say, attempted to bring harmony between me and my colleagues in management. So as the hearings were continuing, a certain advocate, Mr. Marule, was one of the witnesses, because Mr. Marule at an earlier stage was appointed as an investigator that I was involved in corruption. So having been appointed as an investigator, Mr. Marule made a determination, that is the outcome of my case, in his determination. He said there was no problem with my behavior or my management of the institution. The problem was that there was no cooperation between me and my colleagues in management. There was a lot of interference in my work. And as a result of that, that brings about friction in our relationship. So he recommended, in his recommendation he said, until such time there is cooperation between Mr. Sihume and his colleagues in management, there will be no harmony in this institution. He suggested ways that we could follow to bring about harmony between me and my white colleagues. Unfortunately, those recommendations of Mr. Marule, the advocate, were not implemented. And having not been implemented, when I went to the bargaining council, he was one of the people witnessing on my behalf. And as a neutral person, he told the hearing that I was at some point appointed to investigate Mr. Sihume for corruption. And then the person who appointed me was from head office. But it was not a person who was directly involved with Mr. Sihume. It was one white lady who was heading another division. And he said to me, Mr. Marule, that black man is giving us problems. In your recommendations, please make sure that you fire him. You should recommend that he be fired. I was not putting words into Mr. Marule's mouth. That's what he said in front of me. Commission for Administration. And having said that, one guy who was a very senior guy at head office in the Labor Relations Department, a certain Sipiwe Mazibuko, came to give evidence on my behalf, that was testify on my behalf. And he told the administration hearing that I had a problem with my senior, Mr. Denge, because I said to Mr. Denge, why do you allow these white people to do what they are doing to Mr. Sihume? Whereas you know, I've told you, that as a labor relations specialist, I've been going to that institution to solve problems when Mrs. Blott, the chief matron, was saying your head office is full of people with careful psychology. And that Ms. Blott never apologized for that. That was Mr. Sipiwe Mabaso, deputy director in the Labor Relations Department. But now, after Mr. Marule and several other people testified on my behalf, against the manner in which those people treated me at my institution. This Mr. Musa Baloyi was faced with a difficult task. It looked like he had been told to find adverse findings against me. So he had a very big problem to continue with recordings of the proceedings. One meeting we had, whilst people were testifying, he decided that you, Mrs. Hendricks, certain white lady, you take this recording apparatus, go and familiarize yourself with the case, because apparently you do not know what was happening before you appointed, because they kept on changing white people to come and talk on behalf of the Department of Health. So Mr. Baloyi took the apparatus and gave them to this lady. And this lady never brought the apparatus back. The hearings continued without them being recorded, because most people that were testifying on my behalf were not saying what they would like to hear. And when he came to the findings, he said, I was not retired. Instead, I resigned willingly. He never took into consideration the fact that I had a case against a certain Ms. Barnard who wanted to shoot me. He never took into consideration the fact that Nehau evicted me from my office. As a result of that, I had this psychiatric problem, which they call post-traumatic stress syndrome. That is the clinical diagnosis by the psychiatrist. So, after having given the award against me, that is to the employer, I applied to the labor court for a review of that award. And my case was accepted in the labor court for review. But now what is very interesting is that whichever lawyer I engaged never did anything about my case. They took the money and stayed for about a year or two, never gave me a progress report and all that. It looked like these lawyers were being bribed by these white people not to proceed with my case. Until such time that I took this man who was representing me, a certain Mr. Desai, to the Law Society, telling the Law Society, I've paid this man, and ever since I paid him, I don't go to court. And then the Law Society decided to investigate him. Whilst they were investigating, he told me he was in the process of investigating.
Okay, that is who may hang on. Honorable members, we haven't arranged for transport for you. So I'm asking the secretary to work on that so that we don't get frustrated by the time we finish. So please bear with me. And I thought for me to speak to you, I have to request him to pause, because I can't speak to you while here. Okay. Are we still in order? The only thing that we have to wait is the secretary will have to do some calls. Maybe we can take this moment again to a 5 minute leg stretching and quick, release.